I was at my dinner last night with my Companion of Christ fellow priests, and they were speaking about, many of them had been at a conference that just happened this last week, and a conference called SEEK 2024. And it's a conference that actually we have a number of parishioners who are very much involved in that conference and the organization that puts it on called FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. It's a marvelous apostolate that works to evangelize and to form disciples on college campuses in the U.S. and now in other countries as well. And I believe they're at far over 200 campuses around the country. And it's a marvelous thing, this conference, because as they're working with students in all these different campuses, there's kind of this rallying point, especially for maybe some of the newer students, to kind of help them take the next step forward in following Christ, to come to this conference that happens after Christmas every year. And so SEEK 2024 was a beautiful moment of so many indeed seeking the Lord and seeking to follow Him. And this year was a marvelous success. There were, I believe, over 19,000 full participants at this conference. That was a 28% increase over what it had been the year prior. And on one moment, during Eucharistic adoration, there were over 22,000 people together adoring the Lord in the Eucharist. Such a beautiful and powerful thing to see that in the midst of, maybe so often we can think about the unbelief, the falling away in our world, in our culture, to see these thousands upon thousands of college kids seeking Jesus, seeking life, seeking true life. I know for me it's very inspiring. I think next year it's in Salt Lake City, and I may have to drop in on that one and see how it goes, because I know my brother priests were super motivated having been there, being with all those other faithful. I think it just points to that same quote that I mentioned at Christmas time from Pope Benedict XVI about this seeking an encounter. Being Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but it's the encounter with an event, a person, which gives life a new horizon and a definitive, a decisive direction. And that's what these kids were finding in seeking Christ and the Lord being there for them. This epiphany, it's interesting, I look back at kind of my different epiphany homilies over the years, and in this year, I want to shift the focus a bit and focus on the Magi, if I can use that word focus, and the Magi who indeed were seeking Jesus. And to see them and their search for Jesus, their seeking as a model for us in 2024. Behold, it says, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews?" They came seeking it. They came from a great distance and in a time that was not easy to travel in. They made this long journey based on this mysterious sign given to them, and yet they came and they persevered in this journey. And of course, they reasonably went, okay, we're going to go to the newborn King of the Jews. We'll go to Jerusalem. But it turned out that instead, he was in this little town of Bethlehem. But off they went. If this is how it is, then off we go. And then they're guided by that star again. And they have this incredible encounter with Jesus, a light to the Gentiles. And they are the first of the Gentiles that would be leading all of us on the way to the true light of Jerusalem, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Their encounter with Jesus to receive this light was really a combination of two important things. The first is that God was providing for this. He gave them a sign. He gave them, through their stopover in Jerusalem, the prophecy of scriptures, the words of the prophets, to direct them correctly towards Bethlehem. And then, of course, God gave them Jesus, gave them a Savior and a light through the incarnation, the gift of Jesus Himself. And so there's this incredible provisioning that God makes for their seeking an encounter. But it also required the Magi's genuine and persistent seeking. and a real preparation to come and to adore and to come to know Jesus himself. So I encourage us, let's be open. Let's be expectant and hopeful for what encounter the Lord will arrange with us this year. What encounters, both obvious and subtle. And on our part, let us be like the Magi who are seeking, who have those seeking eyes and minds and hearts to be open to how the Lord will be light for us this year. I think we need to follow the example of the Magi who seek Christ wherever he may be found, whether the obvious place of Jerusalem or the subtle reality of, oh, he's in just this little Bethlehem. For us, too, to seek out where the Lord is present and there to encounter us in both the obvious and the subtle things. To seek him, for example, in our worship and adoration, you know, to see this as this deep personal encounter we have with Jesus Christ and how he so much yearns to feed us with himself at every Mass. And in adoration, this chance to be with our Lord in the Eucharist. And so that's fairly obvious place, but it's so good for us to always have that intention and that purpose and that awareness. Or maybe it's the seeking of Jesus in our service of others and how we are guided to be catechists, to help in the food pantry, to share the gospel, whatever that might be, but in our service to others, to realize that the Lord is present. The Lord is present in the poor and in those who need the gospel. The Lord is also then present in our hearts and in our words as we share that love with them. And so that can be a beautiful place of seeing in my service a chance to seek and to find the Lord. Or maybe it's in our study, our pursuit of the truth of the faith. You know, our Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And this year to have a zeal for coming to know him more, because as I know him, I can love him and receive his love more deeply as I become aware of the great gift that he is. There's so many ways to do that. I've spoken with so many people over the last few years who have done, like Father Mike Schmitz, his Bible in a year, or his catechism in a year, and some want to even repeat it to go back again. Or we have our Brent Petrie Lexio Eucharist study starting on Thursday nights. So many ways to, yes, to come to know things, but really to come to know someone, to come to that with that seeking heart of the Magi. Or maybe it's also seeking Christ in community and in our families. Just as those Gentiles, both from the Magi to us today, as we're drawn to the Lord, and that being drawn to the Lord, we're being drawn to each other, to be that mystical body of Christ and to be that reality here in Littleton at Light of the World and to see in this community the presence of Christ and to share the presence of Christ and not just as a pragmatic gathering of people and a functionalism, but the true supernatural and beautiful and graced reality that it is. And how do I encounter Christ in my encounter with those around me, and as well as then in my very own family, to see Christ in those who are part of my family and to know how he's in our midst. Maybe it's also seeking Christ in the heart and in the conscience. You know, that deep personal encounter the Lord wishes to have with us in prayer. And how we are meant to have a real communion with the Lord, that wherever we go, the Lord Jesus is with us, and his Father makes his dwelling place within us when we keep Jesus' commandments. And so his presence in our conscience, to form it, to illuminate it, to help us to really see the truth, that can be another beautiful seeking of Jesus. And maybe one final one I can throw out there would be seeking Jesus in our joys and in our sufferings, in our joys, that they aren't just simply something that we've accomplished or just simply happened to us or some kind of good fortune, but no, the providence of God, and to turn to the Lord with thanksgiving. As we're formed by the Eucharist, thanksgiving, we become people who readily turn to the Lord in our joys and praise God and see how Jesus is with us in those, and then also with us in those sufferings. You know, our Lord Jesus came not to only reign from a manger, but also from the cross. He came, and that gift of myrrh points to that. He came indeed to suffer and die for us. That was the intention from the beginning, always intended. And so our Lord Jesus, who suffers and dies, can be with us in our own suffering in a deep and deep, powerful way. And his love can be there. And so there's that special act of faith that God gives us to be able to seek Jesus even in our sufferings. And that can be such a powerful and transformative encounter. Jesus will later say to his disciples, "Seek and you shall find." And so seeking Christ, we will find him. Like the Magi, the Lord wants to be found. He wants us to find him in all these different ways. And in finding him, to then receive his presence, his strength, his conversion, his hope, his peace, his love. Seeking and finding, then we will be like this Jerusalem, filled with light, as Isaiah describes it. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Rise up in splendor, light of the world. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. And then as we encounter and receive the Lord and receive that light, then we can become a light for the world. As Jerusalem was told, nations shall walk by your light and kings by your shining radiance. I hope this can build up for you a bit of an expectation and excitement that I feel for 2024 of how the Lord is present and how I can be guided by him to seek Jesus and to know him always more deeply. We've never just like arrived. And sometimes there might be obstacles to that seeking that I think our gospel maybe brings out a little bit that we should really reckon with. I think one obstacle to seeking is, first of all, just getting distracted by other things. And I think that often can be kind of fear about, like, what's going on in the world? What's going on, you know, in our world today? And that can dominate us, that focus on that kind of thing. And I know 2024, buckle up, you know, it's... And so there can be a lot that we can fixate on. And of course, you know, there's massive industries like the media that cash in on our fear. So important for us to recognize that the Lord is at work in this, at work in the world, at work in the church. It's his church. And I think if we look back at Jesus, you know, on one level, why was he born in Bethlehem? Because of an imperial decree, right? The census that Caesar Augustus had decreed that compelled, you know, his family to go to Bethlehem, and then he was born there. But all of that was really to serve the purposes of God, that indeed those prophecies that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem was fulfilled. And they're fulfilled on the back of this great Caesar Augustus. The Lord is at work. I think another obstacle to seeking is sometimes a false humility of saying, well, I can't approach closer. I'm nothing, or I'm irredeemable, or I can't be a saint. I think sometimes we simply have to just get over ourselves because God's grace is greater. And to trust in that and to seek that and desire that and to keep following the light. So don't let false humility, a sense of unworthiness, you know, disarm you from coming to the Lord. And yes, we want to be prepared like the Magi, but God's grace is greater. Another obstacle might be, well, look at that King Herod. You know, he had such great pride, and he really was kind of a pretender. He was this Edomite who had kind of taken over the throne, and he was very threatened by Jesus in his life because of what it might compel him to become. You know, and he preferred the artificial kingdom of self rather than surrendering and bowing down to the kingdom of Christ. So sometimes maybe we have a pride that blocks us from really seeking with humility and with real openness to wherever the Lord might be. And then maybe one final obstacle is, you know, not just Herod was concerned, but all of the people of Jerusalem were concerned about this news of a newborn king. I think their thought was, you know, okay, we've got this king, Herod, and he's not great. Actually, he's pretty bad, but it's stable. You know, he builds things. He makes Jerusalem better with buildings and stuff. And so there's kind of a compromise there. Maybe it's better just to keep this kind of so-so king rather than risk this true heir of David and coming, and what kind of upheaval might he bring? How might our lives change if we really welcomed him? But God was going to fulfill for Israel the promises, and the promises to the house of David that had been prophesied. And they were fulfilled through this surprising coming of Jesus. Maybe sometimes we can be a little complacent. Like, what's going to happen to my life if I really seek Jesus, if I really am open to encounter with him? I think so often God wants more for us than we want for ourselves. And so, my brothers and sisters, let us be like the Magi, to be seekers of encounter with Jesus Christ in 2024, wherever and in all the places that he may be found. He wants to be found by you, and he comes and offers his presence to you. He offers his strength, his conversion, his peace, his hope, his love.